So it took a lot of planning, but I mean, honestly, it was the most amazing experience we've ever had.
Hello, and welcome to the Kick It With Katie podcast. Hey team, it's Katie here, and today I have soccer mom Carrie Gonzalez. And Carrie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and your family and where you're from?
Sure. So my name is Carrie, also otherwise known on Instagram as Soccer Moms Unfiltered. I am a soccer mom to a 16-year-old boy, but I am also a cheer mom to a 15-year-old girl. We do currently reside in Miami, Florida. And my son currently does play club travel soccer, and his soccer academy is called Heron Soccer Academy, and they are actually based out of Cooper City, Pembroke Pines area. So for anyone who's familiar, that's where we're at. And let's see, where can I begin? Soccer mom beginnings. My son initially, when he was 3 years old, I attempted to put him in baseball. That was a disaster. He hated it. So we moved into the soccer realm just because they had it at this particular park that we were at. And he very much thrived in soccer and absolutely loved it. So since he's about three to turning four, we've been in the soccer world. Now, I never played soccer. I hated soccer. I would have rather watched paint dry on the wall than sit down and watch a soccer match. And of course, my son now, I have become the number one fan, obviously of my son, but of soccer in general. Because growing up, I did cheer, and now my daughter does cheer. But her schedule isn't as crazy as my son's. So that's been it for the last 13 years, pretty much. That's all I've known. Even though I've been in it for 13 years, I feel like I don't even know half of it. But that's okay. I'm out there and I'm cheering on the team and I'm all up in there. So that's pretty much where we're at.
And have you been any sort of integral part of any like team manager or anything like that, or just the soccer mom?
So I am the team manager for my son's team as well. So I kind of got pulled into that position 2 years ago. I'm currently still in it today. So yeah, I'm definitely all up in the whole soccer world, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. And when you went from just being like a sideline soccer mom to the team manager role, was there a big learning curve that you had to learn about certain aspects that maybe you didn't know the responsibilities of or the intricacies of as far as that role specifically and how it was organized with the team and how it helped
out?
So
I had to learn a lot as far as, you know, the management of the team. You have to take certain courses, you know, to be able to come into this role. So I learned a lot on the coaching side of it, you could say, you know, on the way the coaches have to interact with the children and with the players and things they can and cannot do. So it was kind of cool to be able to see that part of it. Mm-hmm. And then just really logistics, you know, helping with hotel reservations if we travel, or helping, you know, organize the kids that travel alone. So there's definitely things to do, but I love it. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's definitely a big role. Since I'm a coach's wife, I'm not allowed to be an official manager, but I definitely help out the managers as far as saying, you know, these are the hotels that we would prefer to stay in. You know, we've traveled over the course of our experience in soccer, we've traveled to many cities that we frequent. And so we go, you know, we love these hotels, we would prefer these type of things. So we definitely try and help out as far as that type of stuff. And then we're always disappointed when we're at a stay and play and the hotels we would prefer aren't on that preferred list, or they're already booked out by the time we get there. But Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that the managers do behind the scenes that sometimes the parents maybe aren't aware of or don't understand how big of a role it actually is. And so for all you people listening, if your team manager sends out an email that says that they need you to respond, please respond.
Please. Because if not, we're chasing people. Mm-hmm. And it gets tedious, to be honest.
Yeah, and nobody likes to be chased down, and nobody likes to go and chase people down. So I definitely feel that as far as that role where, you know, whether it's getting a response to availability for an event, or if you're trying to collect money for an event or something like that, like nobody wants to be that person. So when we just send out the emails, you know, for the first time, you know, do your best to try and respond. We get it. Like, I'm sure you get it when people like are inundated with many different things and they just kind of forget about it. Obviously that happens, but yeah, do your best to try and stay on top of that stuff because it helps everybody out. So I know that with like coming from a competitive dance background myself, as well as soccer, I know that for the most part, because your daughter does cheer, like they have set schedules and you know what competitions you're going to when and things like that. So when you said that your son's schedule is a lot crazier, is it because of the unknowns as far as like we're going to be training this week? And then, I mean, once usually league schedules come out, you kind of know when things are going to happen, but then there's always, you know, game cancellations and reschedules and this and that. So is that what you're talking about? Kind of it's a crazier schedule versus like, you know, that more set schedule from something like that, dance or cheer?
So the thing with my daughter is set days, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then depending if they do something competitive, then it might be on a weekend. But it's very sparse. It's very spread out. And I know in advance. But with my son, you know, yes, typically at the beginning of a meeting, and we give all the parents a PDF with like, okay, this is the tournaments that we have, you know, that we're looking forward to participating in. But it's the friendly games, the training, you know, the practice is the season. We easy, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Fridays, but then like on Saturday, they'll do a beach practice or we'll go to the park and do conditioning. So that's where it gets mm-hmm. crazy. And the travel gets crazy too, because, you know, we go to Orlando or we just got back from Europe. So that was like, logistically, that was a huge, yeah. It took a big effort to plan that out and to make sure we had everything set. So that's where it gets a little more stressful, because not only I go, my son goes, my daughter goes, and more often than not, my husband will go. But still, it's lugging everybody along. So I kind of feel bad. She always gets strung along to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always, I was definitely the little sister being lugged around to her older brother's things until, you know, my team started traveling more and doing their own things as I got older. But I was definitely that sideline sibling that, you know, paired up with all the other sideline siblings and we created our own gang.
Yeah. That's typically what happens. There's like little groups.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. So as far as your team just coming back from Europe, so what was that experience like? What was the initial, like, how did you guys, what was the plan going there? And then how long in advance had you guys been planning on going there and things like that? Can you share more about that experience?
So we started planning this, if I recall correctly, about September, October, mm-hmm. Where we knew we were going to go and participate in the Mediterranean International Cup. Mm-hmm. So we started preparing everyone, like, okay, this is what we're doing, just so that people could kind of gather or put to the side whatever funds they needed to for this. So it all started about September. We started getting a head count of who was coming. And we solidified all the travel and the flights in January. So from January through March, which is when we left, we just had to make sure that everybody paid their fees, because we had to send everything to Europe in euros. So yes, on paper, it would say like 1500, let's say, but it was actually a little more. So we had to like make sure that at the time that we sent the funds, that the exchange rate, that was right. So it took a lot of planning, but I mean, honestly, it was the most amazing experience we've ever had. Mm-hmm. I mean, being able to travel to Spain and just playing in Spain was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And so now, because we had such a positive turnout with this, now we're also planning on going next year. So now we'll start planning from now, just kind of, you know, gauging flights and things like that. The bad thing next year is that we won't be hitting that trip for spring break. So now it adds another monkey wrench into the equation where we have to start writing letters for all the kids mm-hmm. to be able to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, and fun, but yeah, we've always wanted to go to the Mint Cup. Like it sounds like an amazing experience. And we traveled with a team that won a trip to Spain when they won a tournament. And so that experience was definitely amazing, being able to go over there and see the facilities that they have and the level of play and the dedication. Like, it's a whole other level in Spain specifically than in the United States. Yeah. And so it was such a cool experience. So I'm glad that you guys were able to experience that, because I always, like I said, we've always wanted to take a team over there. We're still crossing our fingers that we can take one of our teams over there and make it work. But that's such a cool experience that the kids get to have and share and, you know, have that exposure and experience and feeling. So that's awesome that you guys were able to provide that for the kids.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I would do it a million times over. It was just so worth it. Just to see their faces. Mm-hmm. Like, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, now you guys see this is not a joke. Like, this is serious soccer.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk more. Let's delve a little bit into your Instagram page that you started. So we talked a little bit over Instagram about it. But why don't you share with the listener, again, the name of your Instagram page and what your inspiration was to start it.
So my Instagram handle is Soccer Moms Unfiltered. I basically started it just not even really serious. I just started sharing things that happened in real life and just scenarios that, you know, we come across day in and day out. So initially, that's what I started. Then I kind of fell off the wagon, and then I came back on. And I was like, okay, I'm going to really try this and see what happens. And thankfully, it's grown to a level that I didn't even think it would mm-hmm. get to. And it's incredible to see how many people relate. But I don't only gear it towards soccer. I mean, yes, for me personally, that's what it is. But I also open it up mm-hmm. to everyone, any right. sports parent, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever. Because we've all gone through it. You know, we've all had that one opposing parent that won't keep our kid's number out of their mouth. We've all had that ref that makes horrible calls. So I just kind of add some, you know, light to it and just try to make it a little funny. And that's
yeah,
where
I'm it's fun to see and like share and see the community that you're growing. And I've definitely like, for those of you that may follow her or should go and follow her, she, like, just this past few days, you know, she'll share something in a stories that's like, hey, can you relate to this? And, like, one of them this week was, like, your teen or tween, like, just smelling bad and, like, won't take a shower and things like that. And I was like, yes, that is one of my sons. Like, my other one is just, like, every day he'll get up and take a shower and he's great. And the other one is just, like, he will go as long as he can without taking a shower until we force him to. Like, you know, because we just, I mean, obviously going to school and stuff, we make him take a shower. But, like, today my kids are off school, and so it's like, okay, I've got to remind my husband to be like, hey, make sure he takes a shower before he goes anywhere. Because, you know, our other kids, it's not a problem, but with him it is. And so I like that you're trying to relate and engage the community as far as, like, just normal everyday scenarios that can relate to just life in general.
Yeah, and that's the point. And also, I try to throw in there, I also try to be very positive, like, you know, send people little messages here and there and just put things on my story, because I feel like we need a lot of that. And I feel like as sports parents, a lot of people don't get it. Like people that don't have kids don't get like the whole running around and why we do it. So I feel like even as a community, we should all come together and just kind of have a place where, hey, send a message, or I'm having a bad day, or whatever it is. And I'm a big advocate for that. So that's
important. Yeah. And I like, I just like that you're trying to engage the community and show everybody, you know, we all can relate in some level, even if we're on opposing teams. Like, we all, you know, can relate to, you know, whatever the topic is that you're sharing. And so that's always fun to see. And the parents that, you know, respond and share, you know, the shares that you have, me seeing like some of my friends share some of the reels that you've made or things like that. It's just fun, because again, we can all relate in some way, whatever, you know, being a sports parent, whatever sport that may be. Because, you know, sometimes I'll be talking to people on here and I'm like, you know, this really relates to whatever sport. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the soccer field. Like, I can totally see how this could relate to basketball or dance or cheer or whatever. There's always some sort of correlation between them. It's just, it's a different setting, but the similar things could pop up and happen. So it's definitely fun to see those things relate. Is there anything that you want to share as far as your knowledge and experience so far as being a soccer or cheer mom, just a active mom that helps her kids out and things? So advice or anything that you want to share with any listeners out there as far as being a sports parent?
Yeah, so I actually would. I've had a lot of messages come through, like, in particular, single parents, single moms, single dad. And a lot of them are like, I'm so tired, I don't know if this is worth it. And I know it's easier said than done. I mean, I was there at one point. You know, I raised my kids. I was a single mom, and then I remarried. Thankfully, my husband is great. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. You just kind of have to keep pushing and not let any negativity get you down. I try to say that a lot to the people that have DM'd me with that. I know it's hard, and it will pay off. I promise. Like, you will reap the rewards later on, whether it's, you know, it's just the kids in sports. It gives them some, you know, it gives them structure. It gives them a sense of responsibility. So, you know, all these things come into play. So you just have to hold on, even though I know it's hard, but you'll get through it. And I get that a lot with a lot of parents that have reached out to me. And I try to, you know, give them those words of encouragement.
Yeah. And I think as far as like the community as well, I feel like humans in nature usually have a hard time asking for help or assistance in some way. And a lot of times just saying, hey, you know, like, maybe you've got multiple kids and you're a single parent, or, you know, a parent is out of town or something, and you just need that extra assistance for a short period of time or a long period of time. There's usually a lot of parents, especially geared around a team, that will come together and help and assist in whatever way that they can, because it's for the betterment of the team, and it also helps out your kid. And so, you know, if, like, even me, like, being a coach, like a coach myself, a coach's wife, like, sometimes I will be like, hey, can somebody take my kid home from something? Because I know that people are coming from that place and they, you know, live near me or whatever, or they're going to be coming to the area that I'm currently at. And I'll be like, hey, you know, is somebody able to give my kid a ride from point A to point B? And more often than not, somebody or multiple people are totally willing to help out. And so it's just, and I try not to ask, like, as much as possible. I try not to ask, like, sometimes I'll make my kids stay for, you know, my son's practices are often back to back. And so I'll make them stay because their dad is their coach. And so they'll have to stay for both practices or go early for the other practice or whatever, because I don't want to be asking all the time. But sometimes, you know, one needs to be back for something if they have, you know, a different, like a viola lesson or something that they need to be at. But I usually try and make it a minimum. But obviously, we would rather your kid be at practice or at a game. And so if we as other parents can help out, like if somebody asks if their kid needs a ride, I am one of the first ones to try and respond as if I can accommodate it, because I'm like, I know I've asked, so I want to return that favor and help out when I can. So it's always important to remember that and don't feel bad for asking, like, because we want to help your kids out and it's about them. So, you know, sometimes you do have to put your pride to the side and ask for help, which again is easier said than done. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it is worth asking, which again, I've been going on about this for 2 minutes now. And I'm like, it is like a sensitive subject because we as humans usually don't like to ask for help. But sometimes it's sometimes it is necessary. So it's always nice to feel that community and camaraderie and know that people want to support you and your kid because they want them to also grow and develop and get better. So I always feel like that's a big lesson that, again, easier said than done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we do that at the club. You know, I'm constantly lugging around kids that aren't mine. So typically people are open to it. You just have to ask. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's just hard to ask, you know, because people are like, I don't want to feel like a burden, you know, but usually you're not, like, it's usually fine because we are a community and that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other out. So that's also, you know, a big thing to remember. Is there anything else that you want to talk about today or topics to discuss or anything that you want to share about your experience being a soccer mom? How about do you know, like, what your son's hopes and dreams are as far as with his soccer career?
Yeah, so my son's ultimate goal is he wants to go pro. That is what he wants. That is what he's working toward. And you know what? I applaud it. I do push school. You know, school comes first. He's got to get an education. He has to have a degree under his belt. And then whatever happens, happens. But he's a very hard worker. He does train a lot. So, you know, you never know. You never know who's watching at a practice or who's coming around a tournament. So I always tell him, you have to work hard all the time because you never know how many eyes you have on you. So that's really his ultimate goal. And I mean, his coach is phenomenal. His coach did play for the Chicago Fire, and his name is Andy Herone. And he is absolutely amazing. The club in itself is amazing. And we've been here going on 4 years with this particular club. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's good that he's able to have a mentor that has been through the ranks and knows what the experiences are. And he's able to hopefully share that knowledge with the kids that he coaches and the families that he's around. Because that's very important to be able to have a mentor that wants to give back and, you know, share their knowledge and love of the game.
Sure. I mean, just the values in and of itself that he brings to the table. I mean, it's great. You know, I love it. Everything about it as a whole. I mean, anyone out there who wants to go ahead and check out our page and see what we're doing, you can do that also with Herone Soccer Academy. You can get to it through my page as well. And they're great. Honestly.
That's awesome that he's, you know, been able to create that environment where you guys are. And as far as, like, you know, you saying that you want to have your kid have like a degree under his belt. I mean, a lot of times we've seen excellent soccer players who could have taken their game to the next level, at least collegiately, but because they didn't take their high school studies seriously, you know, they weren't able to play at that next level. So if you're a parent of a player or a current player that's listening right now, please make sure to the best of your abilities to keep your grades up, because you can't go play collegiate soccer if you don't have good grades. And that's, unfortunately, that's the reality of it. And so you definitely have to make sure that you maintain a decent grade point average, so that you can continue the sport that you love, because some people are like, you know, I'm just going to go play pro and it doesn't matter what my grades are. And it's like, sometimes it is, like, you know, that's, you're going to only have your soccer career for so many years, and then you have the rest of your life to do everything else. And you need to make sure that you have have something, you know, even just having your high school diploma is important. So making sure that you keep that focus on education, because you need those skills all throughout your life, whatever they are. So very important.
For sure. Absolutely. That's a big thing in my household. Grades are a big thing. And I don't let that slide. I mean, grades are number one, and then sports comes after, because you never know what could happen. Yeah, you might go pro. God forbid you have an injury and you can't play. What are you going to do? You can't just assume you're going to be a soccer player until you're 40 and then retire and have money in the bank. So I do instill that in both of them. I said, you both have to do something. You can't just sit around and pass, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade and then slide by.
No, yeah. And anymore. Coming from my cheer background in high school, I remember that our cheer GPA had to be, like, in order to be a cheerleader at our school, like, your grade point average, the requirement was actually higher than any other sports that you could do in the school, which we kind of complained about, but we were also like, our average grade point average for our cheer squad my senior year was like a 3.5. And so it was really high. And most of us were taking AP classes and things. So, I mean, I always thought that was a really interesting thing, but because I think I'm trying to remember, because the high school sports was like a, I think you had to have like a 2.5 or something, and to do cheer it was like a 3.0 on a 4.0 scale. I know I've heard some other like grade points that are different, so just so people have a reference. But yeah
here it's 2.0, so you have to have a 2.0 at the high school level here to
maybe be that's what it was. But I just remember our cheer was like a 3.0, because a girl that I cheered with, like our senior year, her grades were just under a 3.0, and so she couldn't make the squad or something. And so it was sad and ridiculous, but because we were like, holy cow, like our grade point average has to be higher than any other sport in the school. So, but that's another topic for another day. All right. Well, thank you, Carrie, for coming on and sharing your experience being a soccer mom. I will definitely link your Instagram page in the show notes, so please make sure to go give her a follow if you don't already. Soccer Moms Unfiltered. And it's a great page, great community to engage with. And again, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for kicking it with me, and have a great day. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at kickitwithkatiepodcast _between all the words. You can reach out to me with questions at kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com. I also have a feature with SpeakPipe where you can leave me your own voicemail message if you want to be featured on the podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.